forever. Some of you grown-ups haven't said that for years, hundreds of years. Some of you, it's closer to thousands of years. All I want for Christmas, that's a lie. All I want for Christmas is more of that. See where my fingers are pointing? I want more. You get that empty feeling when you opened up all your gifts and you're still searching and there's got to be one more. There's got to be one more. And then you look around and then you say, but Mary got more gifts than me. That ain't fair. Where's my other one? And we search and we tear up. And sometimes, at least it was this way growing up, sometimes in the haste, as we ripped up and destroyed the packages, throwing paper everywhere, as we're cleaning up the mess, we discovered a hidden gift. Whoops! We were so busy opening up the big box that we lost sight of the small boxes. But that never happens to any of you, does it? And that never happens to the body of Christ. We're talking about gifts. Gifts, gifts, gifts. We are giving people. Now that's true. Christians give more. They give more money. They give more of their time. They give more complaining than others. We do. We just love it. I was getting a little worried there. Nobody was. We do. We complain. We have no problem. But you know what probably our number one gift is? Giving advice. We love to give advice. And so this morning as we read our texts, do you know that? That was advice. That wasn't God speaking from a holy mountain with thunder and lightning. Those were pastors saying, hey, let me tell you about how to live life the best way. Let me tell you what happens when we give to others the way that God gave to us. Each of us have received a gift from God. And we talked about the four last time. We talked about the gift of faith. We talked about the gift of God's love. We talked about... Oh, that wasn't the one. We even talked about the gift of eternal life. Wonderful gifts. And we all said, thank you, God, for those big four. But God's not finished giving us gifts. Besides the gift of Himself in the nativity scene, the Advent, God comes. God loves you so much that He's decided to give you something else until He comes back again. Not as a babe in Bethlehem, but as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But He still loves you. Not as the God who, well, I loved you here, I'll love you then, I love you in the in-between. I love you so much that I want to give you something. I want to give you something that you can use to bless others, to give to others. You see, God's really big into giving. But we've been talking about that in our treasure principle. The idea of God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. I've come to give life, and life more abundantly. Bigger packages, shinier, bigger boxes. Reminds me, when I was in fourth grade, I had quite a teacher. She spent all of the curriculum based on us earning points for doing things. And at the end of the year, we got traded our points in for play money. And so for doing our homework on time, we got a dollar. And for doing this, and she caught us helping people, we did some things. Well, Christmas time comes, and here's a chance to earn some extra points, some extra fake money. We could bring a gift to an auction, and we could make some money off of it. Now, here's what you do. You're giving it to your classmates. And so some of us brought a little gift like this. It's a little gift. And we would shake it for our classmates and all 30 of us. And then we held an auction to buy what was in it. And of course, you use what kind of money? Your play money. Now, remember, the big party is at the end of the year. And you have to have so much money to get into the amusement park at Great America. That's what Miss Benjamin said. So, you didn't want to spend all your money at Christmas, but we knew there were some fancy gifts. And somebody went and put a really fancy, and I don't remember how much it was, but it was a really popular gift. It was a popular gift because it was a popular girl. And everybody wanted to do that. And so you had gifts. And then there were little tiny gifts. There was one gift that was in an envelope. And do you know that nobody bid on that? And Miss Benjamin says, now come on, you got to remember the rules. Everybody has to bid on something. I'll never forget this. Ben Pierce bought that envelope for 10 play dollars. And inside was a real $100 bill. I'd say Ben did good. Whoa, things come in different sizes, packages. But the last gift was brought by Renee Bailey. And she brings in, her father brings in this gift on a hand truck. Now, a hand truck is this tall that they push things on, you know, in the grocery stores. Well, this box was bigger than a hand truck. This box was bigger than Mr. Bailey. This box just barely made it through the door. I came out to find out later it didn't make it through the door. They had to tear it completely apart, bring it inside the classroom, put it back together again. Now you have this big box. It was a big refrigerator box, enwrapped in this most gorgeous gold paper. Oh, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And let the bidding start. Oh, my. Well, good things come in big packages, right? Whoa. And the bidding got crazy. I mean, it was ridiculous. All 30 students, everybody was bidding. Even Renee was bidding on her own stuff. She was trying to bid the price up higher. Got the gift. I don't remember what it was, but it was huge amount of money. It's like, man, and people were going, wait, I got to remember, I got to have to earn some extra money here, do some good things, do my homework on time, otherwise I won't be able to go to Great America. So whatever that price was, I don't remember, but it was a lot of money, and somebody spent almost all of their money. Well, the things was, you had to open up the gifts in front of everybody. Everybody got to see what everybody got. So, little Mark Hubbard was the shortest boy in the classroom. I know that because at the beginning of that school year, I was 1 inch taller than him. But by the time that year ended, I had grown 18 inches. And so I was much bigger than Mark then. But Mark was little. Mark bought the prize. And all Mark had to do was pull the bow. And out would come this thing. So Mark grabs the bow and pulls and pulls and pulls, and all of a sudden, out of this box comes flowing popcorn. Now, not two or three kernels. I'm talking billions of kernels. A box 8.5 feet tall, 4.5 feet wide. That's a lot of popcorn. That's what Renee had put in there. Popcorn. Everybody, Mark went to Mark, especially Ben Pierce, the one with $100 bill. You could have had this. You could have had this. And we all went around and poor Mark had popcorn. All because he had the package. Well, what's the lesson to that for us today? God loves you so much that he gave. Beginning and the end and the middle. In the middle, when you became a Christian, you were on God's want list. The want list of, I want you to have a gift. And so God sent the Holy Spirit to give each and every one who becomes a believer in God a gift. Now that gift isn't something that we get to keep. It's not popcorn, and it's not $100. It's not the gold. It's not the frankincense. It's not the myrrh. Now, those are valuable gifts. God's gift to you is much more valuable than this. You see, God loves the world. Let me back that up. Excuse me. God likes the world, but he loves the church. In that this, he gives an invitation for the world to come and have that eternal life. But he knows, because of freedom, that many won't choose that. But he does know that many will. And so that gift that he gives is for the building up, the strengthening, the sharing together of the church. The church is the apple of his eye, Peter says. Revelation calls the church God's bride, not just children. There's something special there in that kind of relationship. And so think of this gift as a wedding gift to the individual church members to build up the bride. And so they come in different various package size for different purposes. Paul says, some of you are given a gift of being an apostle. Some of you are given the gift of being a prophet. How many of us can raise people from the dead? I didn't get it. A few of the boys in the back say they have that gift. And I want to ask where you were 2 years ago when my father passed away. We would ask them the same thing here. We're going through a grieving time right now. God doesn't give those gifts to everybody. He gives the gift of healing to some. Today's modern context, we think of nurses. We think of those church members who write a sympathy card. That's a gift of healing. We think of encouragement. We think of the gifts of help. Those of you who were with us last night as we started our part of our third process. This is the second part, and this afternoon we'll finish the last part. But we went and did an inventory. We did a test. What gifts did God give us? Because the unfortunate thing is, God does not give us X-ray vision. God doesn't say, here is your gift. We have to open it up. We can't see through it. We can't shake it. We can do all that we want. But unless we open it, it's no good. It's a box. It's a thing. But it was meant to be shared for the, here's a big word for you, edification. It's a word we don't use. The building up. The bringing together. There's a French philosopher who said, no man or woman is an island. That is so true, especially if you're Christians. Christians, you are part of a family where everyone is involved. And in one suffers, the whole body suffers. Paul says if there's joy in one, then we share that joy with others. How wonderful it is. That's what we do with these spiritual gifts. But like the man who had the talent in Jesus' parable of the talents, remember that guy? He went and buried his. He didn't use it. God was very angry with that person, remember? He said, take away his gift, give it to somebody else, and then throw him out where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That does not sound good in any language. I don't want to be there. So, with this gift, you got to use it or... And we're talking about eternally losing it. Because you can't say, oh, now I'm going to use it. I'm going to use my spiritual gift when I'm 75. Well, what happens if you die when you're 74? I'll use it when I've perfected that gift. No. You'll never perfect it. You already know. Is everybody in this room have all the knowledge? No. We continually learn more and more and more things. That's the nature of life. That's the nature of giving. So is God, this God who gave gifts to his own son, the gift of frankincense, of gold, of myrrh. Do you know that Jesus also had other gifts? Jesus had other spiritual gifts. Think about it. Was Jesus baptized?
Yes.
Did the Holy Spirit show up at Jesus' baptism?
Yes.
Then therefore, the same Holy Spirit who Peter reread says who gives everyone a gift, did Jesus have gifts?
Yes.
Man, and I see some of them. I see them in the gift of healing. Wow. I see it in the gift of teaching. But I see some little gifts. I see some gifts of encouragement. Think of that. Jesus, when he is presented with a woman caught in the very act of adultery, they come to stone her. That's what the law says. That's what the Bible says to do this. And that's what the Bible said. And so Jesus is ready, and then Jesus then does his famous etch-a-sketch. Remember? He draws on the sand. And everybody's looking over Jesus. What's he doing? And uh-oh. This is before Facebook, okay, where everybody knows everything you're doing. I don't want that to be known, and they disappear, and this person disappears, this person disappears, this person. Did the woman still commit the sin? Yes or no?
Yes.
In this case, not that, that's a different story. But in this case, the woman was there. What was Jesus supposed to do? Thou shalt not do this. Didn't you learn that? Interestingly enough, Jesus uses the spiritual gift of encouragement. Daughter. This woman has been called a daughter for a long time. She's called another name. Bad names. You look her up in the phone book for evening pleasure. This is what? And every woman in Israel, this wasn't somebody who got nominated for citizen of the month. Jesus calls her daughter. Jesus encouraged her. I'd like to think that Jesus picks her up. That Jesus takes off his robe and puts it on her and gives her those words, you are forgiven. That gift of encouragement. Where did Jesus get that? Did he go down to the Jerusalem store and buy that gift of encouragement? No, it came as a gift from the Holy Spirit. And so as we think of these gifts, God gave them. Gifts, gifts, gifts. But what if we never open them? I mean, that picture there is beautiful. It's a gorgeous tree and everything. I remember growing up, my aunt and uncle. My uncle was an interior decorator. And there was one room in his house where we children were not allowed to go. It was called the parlor. Now, I was, you've already known and realized that I was a smart aleck. And when I found out that the word parlor was supposed to be a sitting room, my question was, Uncle George, how come we don't get to sit in the sitting room? Bobby, you don't get to sit. It was a parlor. It was a special. And all of these beautiful antiques, nobody ever got to enjoy. It's kind of like this nativity set, boys and girls. You can look, but don't touch. What good is a gift? What good is Christmas? What good is the Advent if we don't take the next step? Gifts. Gifts are meant to be open. Gifts are meant to be used. Listen to this quote. Use them. God gives gift to his people with the expectation that they will use them to equip and encourage other people to grow spiritually. Some gifts are specifically designed to bring the lost into the kingdom. Some are designed to organize and coordinate different ministries. Others enable people to understand and teach spiritual truth. But all of the gifts are to be used for the health and the function of the whole body. God gives you the gift or gifts, and you must use what you have not pined over. You must use what you have not pined over, what you don't. Faith. God knows best. To every person is committed some particular gift or talent, which is to be used to advance the Redeemer's church and kingdom. All God's responsible agents, from the lowliest and the most obscure to those in the highest positions in the church, are entrusted with the Lord's gifts. It's not to the minister alone to work for the salvation of souls. Those who have the smallest gifts are not excused from using the very best gifts that they have. In so doing, their talents will be increased. It's not safe to trifle with moral responsibilities, nor to despise the day of small things. God's providence proportions his trust according to the varied capabilities of the people. None should mourn because they cannot glorify God with talents which they never have possessed, for which they are not responsible. You're not held responsible or in judgment for a gift you never had. But you will be judged by the gift you have but didn't use. But Pastor, I don't have any gifts. Then you just called the Holy Spirit a liar. And I don't want to be standing next to you. Because the last time somebody lied to the Holy Spirit, I found the text, that guy named Mr. Ananias and Mrs. Sapphira, you know those two elders in the church there? They got zapped. They were struck dead. Poof. Why? Because they lied to the Holy Spirit. So don't lie to the Holy Spirit. So, well, Pastor, I'm 75 years old and I don't know what my gift is. Well, then, are you going to wait till you're 76 to find out? Open the box. Open the gift. The church needs you. The church is desperately crying for you. Do you realize that these gifts, same Holy Spirit, same gifts, but in different wrappings, different boxes. Do you know that in one generation, they turn the entire world upside down? One generation from those people in that upper room, fishermen, farmers, peasants, some redeemed hookers. They changed the entire Roman Empire, telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Could they do that on their own power? No. They had to have the power of the Holy Spirit, who gave each and every one of those people gifts. That same Holy Spirit is here in Norco. That same gifts are there. But these are special tailored gifts. This isn't a one-size-fits-all. This is a gift specifically meant for Juliana. This is a special gift meant for Tony. It has Tony's DNA. The prescription was for Tony, not for Priscilla. Do you see? Each of us have different. Well, my wife takes care of that. Again, I don't want to be next to you in the judgment day because you can't use her as an excuse. Each of us have these gifts. So, as my friend Jose says, what you going to do about it? Friends, it's Christmas time. It's the season of giving. What better time to open God's gift and to share with others. As we sing our hymn of reflection, let's turn to page number 140. Don't sing these words just because you know the hymn. Just because you've sang it 1,000 times. Look at this nativity scene. Thou didst leave thy throne to come to this. But God came bearing gifts for us today. Let's sing hymn number 140. Shall we stand?